This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline, and we got some great ones coming up. It's a football Thursday. It's an NFL Thursday.
Let's get it, Mike. Ooh. Let's get it. Chris, football is finally back. The games actually matter. Let's go.
It's so good. We have been delivered from off-season evil right now. No more hypotheticals, Chris. No more having to draw it up in the dirt or think about projections or anything like that. We get real hand-in-the-dirt football tonight, and we could not be more excited.
No, I'm fired up about it, man. And we got a pretty good matchup, too, because, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys have a whole lot of questions. But let's face it, that's always going to be one of the teams that people are excited to see. It's the offseason. Hope springs eternal. All the teams are undefeated. So a lot of optimism around the Dallas Cowboys and what they can get done this year.
A lot of optimism around the Cowboys. And we'll talk to Calvin Watkins in a couple hours here on the show, get you guys ready. From the Cowboys' perspective, Rick Stroud's going to join us, covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as well as Stanford Steve, going to get you ready for some bets this weekend. And Viking safety Harrison Smith going to join us in about a half hour here. And the mood has been great for so much of the day, Chris, but we're sitting around here right before the show, excited to talk about the Cowboys and the Bucs and break down a real matchup. And then another gut punch injury-wise for the Baltimore Ravens, who last time when we checked in here, J.K. Dobbins already down their backup running back after that. And now Ravens running back Gus Edwards, this according to Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider, Gus Edwards fears or has suffered what the Ravens fear is a season-ending torn ACL during today's practice, according to a source. And Chris, I mean, this close to week one, looking at this, it's amazing to think what's been going on around there, this unholy string of bad luck for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, man, it's been tough break after tough break for the Ravens, and you wonder when it gets to that actual tipping point where it becomes hard for this organization to be able to overcome some of the losses, especially when you consider how they built their offense around that running game. Lamar Jackson is the focal point, but I mean, Justice Hill and Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins figured to be big parts of that. You're talking about an offense that's right there at the top of the league in terms of number of rush attempts every single year. They reset the NFL single season team rushing record. So it feels like this is one of those things that could put a dent in the Ravens' hopes of being able to challenge for the division and to compete for a championship. I just don't see how they're going to be able to overcome all of these losses at the running back spot on the eve of the regular season.
And it might not just be the running back spot, according to Adam Schefter as well, and seeing this with the crew on NFL Live right now, there's also a fear that Marcus Peters, one of their star defensive backs, may have torn his ACL as well, apparently. And I think I saw Ian Rappaport with this, that they cut practice short after on almost back-to-back plays you had these guys going down now. So we'll wait for the official word on that. But Chris, listen, you know this Ravens organization. You played there. I mean, for John Harbaugh and company, is there something to read into on this? Is there something behind this? I mean, this kind of rash of injuries we see happen to someone every year, but for it to be one specific position group feels insane.
No, it does, man, and you just have to wonder what they have going on down there. I did a tour of duty down there in Baltimore, spent three seasons with the Ravens, and I know that John Harbaugh believes in having a physically tough football team, and they work like that throughout the course of training camp. And so I'm wondering if maybe just a little bit of overdoing it played a part in those guys having these injuries at this specific position at this time. Like, that's the thing that you have to take a look at, because again, when you start talking about having to deal with a rash of injuries at one specific position group, especially one where the Ravens feature a lot, it just makes it hard to see their path of being able to overcome that and really play the brand of football that we've come to know since Lamar Jackson has been their starting quarterback. So I'm interested to see what they do. They brought in Le'Veon Bell. They put him on the practice squad a couple of days ago. They got second-year guy Tyson Williams to see if he can step in. But the one thing that you worry about, not only the production that you're getting at the running back spot, but also what those running backs do in pass protection. The Ravens wanted to feature more play action, putting Lamar Jackson under center this year. Greg Roman and the coaching staff have been very vocal about having that in their plans this year. You wonder whether or not these injuries at the running back spot interrupt their plans to be able to do so. So, I mean, again, more questions than answers right now with the Baltimore Ravens, but certainly takes a little bit of a hit when it comes to their outlook on 2021 season.
Yeah, Chris, a name mentioned to me, I was texting with Mina Kimes, our ESPN NFL analyst. She threw out one that I hadn't thought about, Latavius Murray recently parting ways with the New Orleans Saints, a guy whose style certainly fits the Ravens. And you brought up a good point, not only about what they want to do with Lamar Jackson in this play-action game, but Chris, I think about that offensive line that through the last year and really last 2 years has gone through so much change. Orlando Brown gone at right tackle. Marshall Yanda retired before last season. The injury to Ronnie Stanley. You got new bodies all over the place up front. And you know, a running back can really help make life easier, especially ones that have been around in this system, that have experience in the way the Ravens run, and or as talented as this group, can really help bridge the gap for an offensive line that might still be learning. All right, how do they fit in within this specific scheme? So a lot to take in on that. We'll certainly keep you updated if Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider, provides any more insight. As again, the Baltimore Ravens fear that running back Gus Edwards and Marcus Peters have both suffered season-ending torn ACLs during today's practice, according to a source. It is Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. You can be a part of Canty and Golic Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Hit us up, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Chris, looking back at the game that we've got tonight, this has been a matchup we've had a long time to look at and preview. Tampa, according to Caesars, favored by 9 points in this game. But for night one, for game one, which is always an interesting litmus test, what are you watching for tonight? What do you want to see from either of these teams that's going to give you an indication of what we've got for this season?
Well, I think the most important thing for tonight's game, as the Dallas Cowboys are concerned, is just their ability to be able to communicate, especially on the defensive side of the ball, but also along the offensive line with the absence of Zach Martin. Like, we've got Tyron Smith and Lyle Collins are back, but you got to remember, those guys haven't played a lot of football the last couple of years either. So that line being able to communicate and being able to make sure that everybody's on the same page is going to be paramount to the Cowboys' chances of being able to pull off the upset. You know Todd Bowles is going to be heavy on the blitz. Last couple of years under his tutelage, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense has been in the top five in blitz rate. They finished fifth in sacks last year. So we remember what he did, what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did to the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. So you know that Todd Bowles is going to be bringing a lot of pressure, especially up the middle. They're going to try to move Dak Prescott, get him off the spot, test that surgically repaired ankle and his shoulder. And so the offensive line for the Dallas Cowboys has got to be prepared for that. Also on the defensive side, they got new signal callers in the linebacker core as well as in the secondary. So making sure that everybody is on the same page, making sure they're getting all the checks, all the coverages. You know Tom Brady, there's no quarterback that's better at taking advantage of the MAs and the MEs from a defense than him in the NFL. So communication is going to be at a premium for the Dallas Cowboys tonight.
Yeah, I think when you look at the Cowboys, you're right. There is going to be that element of a lot of newness, despite a lot of the same names around this team, trying to see if the puzzle pieces still fit together in that way. I look game-wise, situation-wise tonight, because you mentioned Tampa's defense. I mean, what an unholy tear. Devin White, Lavonte David in the middle of that one. You're right, stress testing a yep. young offensive core on that interior for Dallas. I'd look at two spots there, though, Chris. I would say third down in the red zone, like for all of the great of Tampa's defense last year. They were 14th in third down percentage and 20th in red zone efficiency. So a couple of areas where maybe there's something resembling a crack in the armor, because I'm not going to say it's all the way gone. This is still a potent unit in that regard. But if you're Dallas, if you're Dak Prescott, those are going to be the areas that you have to try and exploit. And for Kellen Moore, getting used to life with his signal caller again, with a Zeke Elliott who, by all accounts, is back in the kind of fighting shape we saw him in at Ohio State, I'd say those are two big areas we're going to cue in on. But coming up next, let's look on the other side. Tom Brady, as you've heard from Doug Brown and others, getting ready to make his 300th career start tonight at the age of 44. What's the expectation look like for the GOAT going into this season? We'll get to that next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
This is ESPN Radio.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll head out to the Goodyear hotline and talk to the hitman himself, Harrison Smith, proud owner of a brand new payday for the Minnesota Vikings.
Ooh, how much cash was it, Mike?
Oh, it's a cool $64 million, Chris.
Ooh, 4 years. That's a whole lot of money.
Oh, man, it is it's a beautiful thing to see those life-changing sums of money given out, especially to a guy there, Chris, 32-year-old safety, been doing it for the Vikings for a while now. Looks like he's going to finish his career there. So got to feel nice.
Absolutely, and he's one of the best at his position in the National Football League, so that is money well earned for Harrison Smith. Can't wait to talk to him, man, see what he thinks about his team going into the 2021 season.
Absolutely. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. So again, Harrison Smith will join us in about 10 minutes here on the show. But right now it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Obviously, waiting for more news, if you haven't heard it, surrounding Ravens running back Gus Edwards and cornerback Marcus Peters, who, as you know, reports tell our own Adam Schefter, both appear to have torn their ACLs today at practice for the Baltimore Ravens. So we'll keep you up to date on that as it comes out. We've got game one of week one of the NFL season tonight, the Dallas Cowboys and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Chris, we talked a lot about Dallas, and I think a lot of questions there. For Tampa on the other side, it seems like everything's lined up perfectly for them at this point. I mean, when you look at this team here, how are we even supposed to grade success for them at this point during the regular season? Like, is there anything left that they can really show us outside of the playoffs at this point?
Well, I don't think there's anything that they have left to prove in the regular season, but knowing Tom Brady, he'll find a way to be able to manufacture that chip on his shoulder and put it on everybody, every one of his teammates in that locker room. So I think that we'll see a Tampa Bay team that's going to be ready to go. I don't think we have to worry about the complacency and the whole Super Bowl hangover deal when it comes to this group. Now, it does remain to be seen whether or not they'll be able to do it. I mean, it's a question of how you deal with success. We know that this organization hasn't been in the position that they're in right now going into this season very often. So it'll be interesting to see how that young core of players deal with that. But if Tom Brady's going to have anything to say about it, this group will be ready to go. They'll pick up where they left off last year playing at a really high level.
Yeah, Tom Brady yesterday at their Tuesday presser, I should say, talked about for him what it means heading into this season with the opportunity to defend their title.
You know, what we did, no one could take away from us. So in one way, you're not really defending it much. You know, it's kind of in the books and, you know, they can't take away what we've done. It's really just a whole nother year and experience. So I think it's just more of, you know, we got a chance to go out and play the 2021 team the best we possibly can. I think, you know, as good as we were, as we played, you know, with the same group of guys, I'd love to see us, you know, see where we can get this year. But again, it's all of it's earned. There's nothing given. You know, it's not about a bunch of hype or a bunch of build up and BS. You know, we got to go do it. And I think that's about a bunch of guys that are really mature, that see ourselves as professional athletes, and, you know, we want to go out there and we want to put our best out there.
Chris, something we talked about yesterday with the Green Bay Packers in the NFC was interesting, that you've got Aaron Rodgers where everyone feels like it's the last dance. Devontae Adams made it abundantly clear he believes there's no chance of him and the Packers getting a long-term extension done before this season starts. So he's going to walk into this year with 1 year left on that contract. You've got all that hanging in the balance over there. All the narrative stuff's kind of gone for Tampa, right? Like Tom Brady, where we look and say, will he ride off into the sunset? Well, if he was going to do that, last year would have been an awfully good time to, so we're not really reading into it like that. You talked about off-air the other day, knowing at the end of your career the way your body feels. It doesn't feel like Tom's dealing with any of that, largely because he's a quarterback and we make sure they don't get hit very hard.
Yeah, I was about to say.
But it does not seem like there's the usual distractions that you would see for a guy of his age or a team in this position.
No, I mean, listen, Tom Brady is not entertaining the idea of being retired, and I think that's the hardest thing to guard against when you start getting close to the end as a professional athlete. Bill Parcells used to always say, when you start thinking about retirement, you are retired, but it doesn't feel like Tom Brady's allowed his mind to kind of go there. It still feels like he has so much more to accomplish in his mind, and you're starting to see that kind of permeate throughout the team, and so that's why I don't think you have to worry about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers being complacent at all. And I think we're primed to see Tom Brady play some of the best ball of his career just because of the continuity that organization has been able to maintain around him. Their general manager, Jason Light, he went out this offseason. He re-signed all the guys that were impending free agents. They bought back both of their coordinators. So you're going to have the same system around him. You think about what he was able to do down the stretch in the final eight games of the year, 22 touchdowns to only 4 interceptions. And you got to think to yourself, Tom Brady is going to have a huge year in terms of productivity. I mean, right up there with the best we've seen from him. I don't know if it's going to get to the level that we saw in 2007, But I think he's got a chance to get damn close to that, especially with the expanded regular season.
Well, and the interesting thing that's now come into the crosshairs of the conversation today, courtesy of our good friend Dominique Foxworth, is this idea of Tom Brady and Dak Prescott, the two quarterbacks we're going to see in this game tonight. Because Dominique loaded up the take cannon today, but he brought receipts with it. He brought a lot of facts in this, saying that he agrees an NFL top 50 list got put out by the folks at ESPN.com and had Dak Prescott and the quarterback rankings ahead of Tom Brady. And Dom says that one makes sense, and I'm sure even the mere whisper of that, Chris, is all that Tom Brady needs to get ready to take a flamethrower to the entire league again. Because I don't disagree with Dominique in that. I think that's a more than fair take to have, but I also know that we're all living in fear of ticking off Brady again and watching him burn the world.
Yeah, I'm going to be the last one to that party to say Tom Brady's washed up. I'm not touching that one. I played against this guy too many times to doubt him and what he's capable of and his overall greatness. But as far as the rankings of the quarterbacks go, like, listen, I get it. Dak Prescott at this stage of his career has more tools in the tool bag than Tom Brady, and Dak is an ascending player. I don't think we can say the same for TB12. But that being said, if we're talking about a one-game, gotta-have-it situation, I'm going to put my money on Brady over anybody else. Like, that's the dude that I'm rolling with. So if all things are being equal and we're talking about a one-game sample size, I have a hard time taking Dak Prescott over Tom Brady. Now, I get that most general managers, most talent evaluators, if you're talking about the two quarterbacks, they're going to take Dak because he's got a lot more runway than Brady. But, I mean, listen, man, I'm not ready to touch that one saying that Dak Prescott is better than Tom Brady. Does he have more tools in the tool bag? Is he more talented? Yes, but with Tom Brady, it's not just about his talent. It's about all the intangibles around him. It's about him being able to elevate the play of everybody around him. I mean, you're talking about a guy in 1 year that changed the culture in Tampa. They were a losing team when he got there last year, and they went to hoisting the Lombardi at the end of the season. I don't know too many quarterbacks that are going to be able to turn a franchise around in the fashion that we saw Tom Brady do last year.
I want to get into that more later because I think Dominique's got some really interesting evidence in an article up on The Undefeated that we can get to in a little bit. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Coming up next, though, my sources are telling me that we might be joined by an all-pro safety from the Minnesota Vikings. We will confirm those reports next after this word from 5-Hour Energy. All right, guys, did you hit the productivity wall after a big lunch? I'm actually really full right now, so this is perfect timing. Because you can let 5-Hour Energy Shots help you leap over that wall instead of crashing into it. Zero sugar and a convenient portable size, it's the perfect pick-me-up for getting stuff done. Go to 5hourenergy.com today to find over 15 flavors to choose from. You got flavors like watermelon, tropical burst, cherry, peach mango, and more. There's a flavor for literally everyone. And if you're out and about, remember, you can always pick up a 5-Hour Energy Shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. Back after this with Harrison Smith on Canty and Golic Jr., ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And that's where we head now, because we got money on deck here. Joining us on the Goodyear Hotline, Minnesota Vikings all-pro safety Harrison Smith with us now. What's going on, buddy?
What's up? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. And we appreciate you giving us some time today, man. We know week one is here for everyone, and we want to get into what's coming up for you guys this weekend. But we know the news broke not too long ago. You signing an extension with the Vikings, now your third contract with the team. So what did that mean for you, the chance to, you know, finish your career with the team that drafted you years ago now?
Yeah, when the time came to have those talks, I kind of reflected on my career so far and realized how special it would be to finish in the place that you started. And, you know, that was my main goal, and I've enjoyed it up here. It's a top-notch organization. I love being part of this defense and this team. So just getting it done so I can have the ability to finish my career here was big to me.
Harrison, congratulations on getting the bag. Well-deserved. You're sharing the secondary now with another guy that's been getting that bag all his career. What has it meant for you to have Patrick Peterson in that defensive backfield alongside you?
Man, he's been great. You know, obviously, Patrick Peterson, you know who he is before he comes to the team, but You know, not just his play, which has obviously been top notch since he's been in the league, but his presence in the room. You know, we haven't had a vet corner like that since Xavier Rhodes. So having him in here as an example for the young guys, a guy that can teach them a lot of things, and just his calmness, his ability to communicate is really exceptional at the corner position. So it's been awesome having him around.
And for you guys, Harrison, obviously last year wasn't the season that you guys wanted, wasn't the finish that you guys wanted. So when you came back this offseason and getting to have a full offseason, what was the conversation for you guys? What did you want to get corrected from last year to this year?
Yeah, to be honest, there was a lot of things because we weren't very good last year. And we're used to playing a high level of defense here. So not doing that was new to the staff and new to the players. So we kind of restocked the shelves with some guys up front, linebacker, and in the secondary. So I think that was a big piece of it. And then just kind of learning how we were getting attacked and how we can fix those things. It's really all about all 11 guys being on the same page, which is hard to do when you got kind of a younger group and some injuries. So we've done everything we could to get ourselves on the right path.
Harrison, since you brought it up, the guys up front, I'm going to take this opportunity to talk about some defensive tackles, show the big guys some love. I know with the Mike Zimmer defense, it all starts with being able to stop the run. What have you seen from Michael Pierce and Dalvin Tomlinson, and what do you expect from them in their debut this Sunday?
Yeah, the first thing you notice is just they're just sheer size when they showed up. And having both of them out there at the same time, you know, they're not just like stay in place guys either. Like they're athletic guys that can move and can get to the ball. So, you know, they're more multiple than you might think, but having those bodies up front that can take on, double teams and free up other players, you know, and also make plays on their own. That's the stuff that goes unnoticed, you know, by the fans and by a lot of people, but that's really where it starts. And it allows so many guys around them to make plays, not only themselves, and that's really what our defense is about.
Canty Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Vikings All-Pro safety Harrison Smith on the Goodyear Hotline. And Harrison, we know with your guys' team, a lot of people also going to focus on the quarterback position on the other side. Kirk Cousins came over, has made a lot of money in Minnesota, and people waiting for that next step for the offense. You guys go against them every day in practice. You've seen them all preseason here. What have you seen from Kirk in this offense that gives you guys confidence this year?
Well, they got weapons. They got weapons everywhere. You know, Justin Thielen, unfortunately, Irv got hurt. Conklin's a great player at tight end. And then, you know, goes without saying, Dalvin and Alex in the backfield. So there's a ton of weapons. The offensive line has come together really well. There's a lot of good players on that line. And they've kind of see a sense of toughness about them that we might have been missing in the past. So I'm excited about it. Watching those guys on game day, Kirk makes a big throw. Dalvin makes a big run. Somebody makes a big block, like that energizes the defense, the special teams, everybody. So we really do take it to heart about playing complimentary football. So we're rooting for those guys. They're rooting for us. And I'm excited to watch them have some big plays out there.
Harrison, spinning it forward to your matchup with the Bengals on Sunday, what have you seen from them on tape? And what is it going to be for y'all? What has got to be the key for you guys in this matchup in order to have success and put your team in position to win?
Well, obviously they got, you know, Joe Burrow back there, coming off a strong rookie campaign. Unfortunately, he got hurt, but he played well. The guys outside, Boyd, Higgins, and then they brought in Chase. We know that they can all make plays in the passing game. And then you got Mixon back there running the ball, and he's also effective in the pass game. So they do have a lot of weapons, and they got a guy that can swing it around to them. So just being on our keys, and kind of like I talked about earlier, the communication factor is something that we rely on a great deal.
Well, you guys have done it at a really high level for a lot of years. Got no doubt that you guys are going to be back on top of your game this year. Harry, busy offseason, man. Got the payday, got married. So 2021 already looking up. I have a feeling the rest of the year should go pretty well. Congrats again, man. Really great talking to you, and hopefully get to see you around at some point this season. All right, buddy?
Yes, sir. Thank you both.
Awesome stuff. Vikings Pro Bowl safety Harrison Smith there on the Goodyear hotline. And, yeah, Chris, I mean, it's about as busy as you can get there. The wedding pictures pop up, the announcement of the contract there. It's all coming up Harrison right now, so I feel like the next step is for the Vikings to get back in that playoff picture.
Absolutely, but it feels like things are trending in the right direction in the Smith household. So good on Harrison and good on the Minnesota Vikings. Hopefully they can find themselves competing for that that NFC North crown this year.
Absolutely. By the way, though, speaking of guys receiving overwhelming paydays, coming up next, we will give you the numbers on one of those brand spanking new record-setting deals for one of the best defensive players in football. We'll do that next here, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. When I say the boy has his own money, I mean the boy has got his own money. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or progressive.com. And, Chris, we saw during the last segment, Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider, had tweeted out that the Steelers and T.J. Watt had made, quote, significant progress on an extension and now expected to be complete inside the next 24 hours that would make him the highest-paid defensive player in the NFL. That deal got done to the tune of a 4-year, $112 million deal, Chris.
You know what, Mike? We knew something was up yesterday when T.J. Watt decided that he was going to be a full participant in practice. Didn't we say that it felt like this deal was at the 2-yard line? And lo and behold, this afternoon, that thing gets done. And you're talking about T.J. Watt having that direct deposit for $80 million fully guaranteed at signing. That's unbelievable, man. Couldn't happen to a better player. I mean, in terms of the character, all the things that we've heard, it's money that's well-deserved. And, of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers now have their best player on the defensive side of the ball going into week one against the Buffalo Bills.
Who, the scene inside that locker room today. I mean, Chris, listen, you're a man who enjoyed a successful NFL career, who got to one of these fun paydays here. Got to be a nice feeling when you're not only the hero at the bank, but then get to share it with the team.
Oh, yeah, the people at the bank know T.J. Watt on a first-name basis. like they so friendly when T.J. Watt walks in the bank from now on when you have them kind of zeros in your bank account. But, I mean, as far as the guys in that locker room are concerned, everything for the next month is on T.J. Watt. The defense, the dinners, all of that stuff that you do during the course of a season, that's all on T.J. Watt because he just got that bag, man. That is unbelievable, the kind of money that's flying around, especially for guys at premium positions like pass rusher. T.J. Watt, one of the best in the business at it. And so we talked about this before, Mike. It makes all the sense in the world for the Steelers to make these types of concessions and guarantee money beyond the second year of a contract extension with a veteran player just because you know exactly what you're getting with T.J. Watt.
There are exceptions to every rule, and they look an awful lot like T.J. So, again, 4 years, $112 million with reportedly $80 million fully guaranteed at signing. Good God almighty. So that is exciting news. You love to see folks out here getting paid. And you also love to see actual football getting ready to get going tonight. And that is where we head next to the Goodyear Hotline to talk to Rick Stroud from the Tampa Bay Times covering the Buccaneers. And, Rick, we have finally made it here. We finally made it through tonight. So as you sit here now for the Bucs, we know they're defending their Super Bowl title, but where is their mentality heading into week one? How are they approaching this season with that in mind?
Well, I mean, it's going to be tough, right? They think they'll be in the locker room when all the, you know, the banner is raised or whatever they do in the pregame. But the fact is that, and you know this, they're back down to the bottom of the mountain. I mean, you have to earn your way to the postseason, to the playoffs, and try to make that run. They can't take the Super Bowl away from them. That one's in the vault. You know, they're not trying to defend it. They're trying to win another one. And it hadn't been done in a long time, but the last guy to do it was Brady, and he's not going to let them, take their foot off the gas, that's for sure.
Rick, there's a lot of areas of this team that are essentially proven commodities, but the one unit that a lot of people point to and say that there's an opportunity for growth is the secondary. What are people internally saying about the secondary and what they expect to see from those guys in 2021?
Well, I just think more growth. You know, those guys were upset last year. They were ranked by some people as the worst secondary in the NFL. They had a bunch of young guys, obviously.
and they're still young. But I think you saw specifically in the postseason, they really came alive. You know, whether it was Sean Murphy bunting with the three interceptions in the postseason in three different games. Carlton Davis is one of the better cover corners in the league. He says he's second to none. We'll see if that confidence plays out or not. And you know, Antoine Winfield Jr. Was one of the best rookies in the NFL a year ago. So they know that, you know, they've got to hold up their end. Obviously, the strength of their defense is their front seven. But they feel like they're up to the challenge, and they won't have a better, you know, challenge than they do tonight as far as the receivers go. When you got CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, and Michael Gallup, that can match your three receivers. But they go up against Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown every day. They feel like they're going to be prepared.
Talking to Rick Stroud from the Tampa Bay Times, covering the Bucs ahead of tonight's game in the NFL. Rick, you mentioned the wide receivers on Tampa Bay's side of things. Where are we at with that unit? Because we know last year Antonio Brown came over during the season. Obviously wasn't the full player we had seen in the past here. Where is he at, and what does that do for this receiving room?
Well, I think it does a lot. I mean, look, he looks very spry. He had some knee surgery in the offseason. He's been working with Alex Guerrero and the whole TB12 bunch, and he has been a live wire at practice. I mean, he's got a lot of energy, as you know. Much like Tom, does not play or act his age. And, you know, he came in halfway through the season a year ago, still was pretty unfamiliar with some of the nuances of the offense. And he's going to be on the field, you know, with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. I mean, they've got a guy like Scotty Miller. They have to, you know, have situational plays for him. And he was one of the big play guys for him a year ago. They still have Tyler Johnson. So it's a deep group. But he's that quick twitch guy that can get yards after the catch in short spaces. We know he can run by the defense. And I look for him, you know, to have him 17 weeks if he stays healthy. He caught 45 balls in 8 games. I imagine he'll do what Antonio Brown has done in the past.
Rick, the first 12 games of 2020, it seemed like there was this push and pull between Tom Brady and Bruce Arians, and they got things ironed out after the bye week. The offense included a lot more motion. They started employing a little bit of 12 personnel and using play action. Do we expect the offense to look more like what we saw during the Super Bowl run, or are they going to have some new wrinkles coming into this season?
Well, I think the new wrinkle is just going to be having a third down back that can catch the ball. I mean, they added Giovanni Bernard. You know, both Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette had about 7 drops each last year. You drop a ball on third down, you could have 3 or 6 or 9 more plays. That's going to be the wrinkle. But, you know, I mean, overall, I think they're going to be more committed to the run. That was one of the things that Tom absolutely wanted them to do at the bye week. I think they did it the second half of the season. You know, Rojo will probably be their running back one, if you will, but they'll go with a hot hand. And you know, if they're able to get a lead, something they didn't do much, especially early in the year last year, I think Leonard Fournette will be that closer for them. And so it's a good group. It's a deep group. I think Fournette has accepted his role, whatever that might be. He had trouble doing that until late in the year. And, you know, they're all in, I think, together. It's, you know, it's going to be – I think it's going to look more like it did at the end of the season than it did certainly in the beginning of last year.
Check him out on Twitter, at NFL Stroud, doing a great job for the Tampa Bay Times. Rick, we appreciate you giving us a few minutes today. Enjoy the game tonight. We finally made it.
Yeah, we sure did. Thanks, guys.
Awesome stuff from Rick. And, Chris, I think looking at this team, too, we talk so much about, you know, the secondary, the wide receiver core. I'm so excited along the trenches here. Tristan Wirfs was one of the best rookies in the NFL last year at right tackle for them. And then Joe Tryon, who's been getting all the rave reviews at pass rusher on the other side, the rookie out of Washington. I think those two guys are going to be so much fun to watch go to work tonight.
Oh, absolutely. And you can't forget one of my former teammates, Ryan Jensen, the man in the middle on that Bucs offensive line. You know he's good to start a couple of fights tonight, especially with the regular season kicking off. You know this Bucs team is going to be fired up. You know Tom Brady will have that group having a sense of urgency and trying to repeat as champions. That campaign starts tonight. I love the fact that Tom Brady jumped on the hype video to kind of be the primer for them kicking off this season. So I can't wait to see what this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team does this upcoming season.
I'm so glad you brought Jensen up. This line leads the league in angry redheaded men. And it has worked out very, very well for them. Follow Ryan Jensen to freedom. Coming up next, though, we'll head out to Baltimore to check in on the latest around the injury situation potentially surrounding Gus Edwards and Marcus Peters next on ESPN Radio.